Greetings, citizens of the world. Bow before us.
This is
This Week in Mormons, where you can learn everything you've ever wanted to know about anything ever.
Anything ever? Really?
Yeah.
You're like the Britannica Illustrated. Is that what you're trying to say, Jeff?
I am the Encyclopedia Britannica. That was such an exciting gift on like children's game shows back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, Carmen Sandiego. Wasn't that the grand prize in Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
If the grand prize on Carmen Sandiego was, I don't know if it was all expenses paid or just airfare to a vacation anywhere in the lower 48 states of your choosing.
So you learn all about the entire world and they'll fly you to
Iowa.
Dallas. Everyone's
got to go to, you know, Dealey Plaza at some point.
And how cheap would that be to just be airfare?
Maybe it's the full vacation. I don't remember the details. Do you know how passionately I watched that show as a child?
I have no idea how passionately you watched that show.
Passion. Lots of seething passion. It was
Can you paint for me, if you would, a word picture of what it was like to be you watching Carmen Sandiego?
Okay, well, actually, I will explain it to you. I have loved maps and geography since I was a young man. And I would watch Carmen Sandiego, loving it, interesting tidbits of information.
Where in the world?
Fat Rockapella was terrific. Great things happening all around. And then when the contestants would get to the final round, where they have to place those little siren posts on a map of the world, on a particular region, based on where Carmen went.
I'm with you.
There were many times I would be sort of quietly screaming at the television, unable to fathom why these dorks don't know where Burkina Faso is. It's not that hard, people. I'd just be like, guys, come on, it's Djibouti. There it is. Just put the thing down. Nope, that's Ethiopia. Keep going. Move next door.
You were mocking them from your home?
And so I actually looked into going on the show. I desperately wanted to compete on Carmen Sandiego.
Why didn't you?
It was done by PBS because they filmed it in New York, and as it turned out, the show is only open to kids who went to school in the New York area.
Oh, no wonder no one ever won. They never had to worry about anybody winning.
Yeah, when your school doesn't have a name and it's just called Public School 2478356.
You're not going to win Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
You're not. So I never got to go on, which did make me sad, but it was a great
show. Should have sued for discrimination. You were a smart young boy. You could have done wonders.
I would have rocked it, and I would have gone to space camp.
That's where you would have flown?
Everyone goes to Huntsville. Everyone of that era goes to Huntsville, Alabama for space camp. Obviously.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Can we go to space camp as grown-ups? We could never go as kids because you can't afford it. But as grown-ups, grown-up space camp.
I'm looking into this right now. Space camp, spacecamp.com. There's a movie called Space Camp, which only gets 5 stars on IMDb.
Space camp adult programs. Jeff. 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 $549 a person. Jeff, we have to go to space camp.
Are you at spacecamp.com/adult?
Yes, I am. Jeff!
What do we get to do? Model rocket construction and launch.
Oh, my gosh.
Simulators. Oh
my gosh. Jeff, we have to do this. I'm in tears right now. This is happening. Ages 18 to 99. Look at those old people in that picture.
That would have ruled out my great aunt who just passed
Jeff,
away.
Jeff, next year for our grown-up road trip adventure, please can we go to space camp?
I'll ask the wife. I can probably promise you she wouldn't want to do this, so we might be able to
pull it up. No, she's not invited.
Oh.
She cannot come.
It is
just you and I in a bunk together.
I'm married now. By default, the wife has to be invited because I want her to go.
No, remember when we went to Sandusky, Ohio without your wife?
Yeah, because she doesn't like roller coasters.
This would be roller coasters, but in zero gravity.
Al, I have a confession. If my wife were into roller coasters, I don't know if Man Trip to Cedar Point would have happened. I might have just gone up with my wife.
Yeah, well, if your wife was into space roller coasters, then this probably wouldn't happen either. But guess what, Jeff? We're going to go get a patch,
yes.
And it's going to say Space Academy, and we will be spacemen.
I hope they give us bomber jackets in the end.
I will be Dr. Spaceman.
And during our free time, we will watch all the great movies. We'll watch Apollo 13, The Right Stuff, Space Cowboys.
Gravity?
And then we'll watch Gravity to get really scared.
Oh my gosh, Jeff, this has to happen.
This is our future. I'm so excited.
Register now. What do they need from me? Just $549. That seems easy.
How much does it cost for kids? Does $549 cover room and board?
Space Camp. Adult Space Academy.
This is a good use of our time, everybody. We're glad.
Oh my gosh, Jeff! This is. I just had like a legitimate mind blow. Like this, just happened. I thought my time was up, and it's not. The Facebook pictures would be so worth it. Can we all agree that we, Jeff, you and I have to go and dress in a space jumpsuit and yes. walk into a hangar as though we were
yes.
the Armageddon oil drilling team? Can we just do that one thing?
I'll be Steve Buscemi and you can be Michael Clark Duncan.
No, I want to be like Ben Affleck, where I play animal crackers through the cleavage of that one woman, Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler. Why can't I be him?
Well, I don't know how to tell you this, Al, but I think the church frowns upon animal crackers in cleavage.
Not once you're married. I would, of course, have to marry her.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
How long does it go? That's what I
don't
know,
but we probably need to move on away from Space Camp.
All right. Oh, no. Oh, so it's only a weekend.
It's a weekend. It cost me $550 for like 2 days of jollies.
Yeah, that's right. That's totally worth it.
I don't know if that's
hands down.
I want a week.
No, Jeff, you're married. You don't have a week away from the
wife. Do I get to dive in a spacesuit underwater to simulate zero gravity?
Did you want
to
say dove?
No, do I get to dive?
Do I get to scuba dove?
I used the infinitive.
Let's say probably not. Well, unless you're like me and you're scuba certified, and then yes, we would.
I'm scuba certified. Oh, fancy Jeff, guy. Maybe you and my wife can go diving. She's certified too. Have fun.
I don't know what exactly you're inviting me to do, but I think I should say no. just as your friend, I feel like you might be biting off more than you could chew in this scenario, and
look,
I'm going to say no.
I know I'm not scuba certified. I know I don't live the high life. I don't have the fancy things. I'm just a man standing in front of a girl asking her to love him.
Yes. Not okay.
So
all right, well, that's decided. Thank you.
Other than your just ebullient fascination with Space Camp, how are you?
How do we even get on that? That was amazing.
How did we get on Space Camp?
I am on this euphoric high. I feel like a better man all of a sudden. I'm doing well. I'm doing very good. I've had an adventurous little spell here in Salt Lake.
Why?
It's been nice. Fall is upon us.
Why is it adventurous?
I go for walks in the afternoon, Jeff.
Hmm.
I don't do this very often, but I've picked it back up. That's where you you go outside with no particular destination, and you go without your car.
Yeah.
And so that's been fun.
Okay.
Just really nice. And then I head back to Kansas City and Houston this next week.
So. You have like a show? Do you have a show in Houston?
Yeah.
It's no fun.
Well, it remains to be seen.
More,
it could be fun. It's going to be fun.
Importantly, how is your apartment? I'm looking at it. Did you purchase any of the floor care things that I recommended? Are you taking
I did. I sure did. Jeff, I have a vacuum. I have a little Swiffer scrubber thing that I still have yet to use.
Well, we need to get you to use that. See, this is the thing. When I saw Al a couple months ago, sorry, roommate, if you're listening. He complained about
I have no roommate.
I know. He complained about a dirty roommate. But I know Al, and I know that a fair bit of sloppiness is self-inflicted. So I'm trying
Not to, my own abode, Jeff. Look at this. Look at this place.
I was there.
It is both spick.
But it looks
well
it looks great. I don't want you to live beneath your privileges.
Like Brigham Young
as
and
President
the Saints.
Uchtdorf would say.
No, that's Brigham Young said that.
Okay, well, President Uchtdorf quoted him, and I'm not enough of a scriptorian to know better. I just know what happened most recently. Dieter.
I just assumed Uchtdorf was original.
Yeah, I did. Thought he was a winner. He is a winner. He's a great guy.
Anyway.
Well, that's good, Al. I'm also splendiferous.
It's not a word.
I promised you I would tell you what I did with my weekend before we started.
Yeah, what'd you do with your weekend, Jeff? How was your week?
Well, first off, the other big news is now I'm flying solo at work. This is very exciting.
What does this mean?
Other people, well, I worked in a small office, and other people have pursued other opportunities, and so now I work alone. in an office.
Where is your boss?
I am the boss now. I'm the man.
Jeff, do you still get a paycheck? Are you like George Costanza where you're getting a paycheck and no one knows about it?
No, no, no. I'm here and I basically run the show for America. That's basically what I am now.
You're the de facto. Are they paying you more?
That's not anyone's business.
You just give me a thumbs up or down. Okay. Oh, boy. Wow. Jeff is rich, everybody.
No, I'm not. I wish I were rich.
Jeff is a wealthy
businessman. Go to grad school and then find out how rich you will never be.
Yeah, that's because no one pays money for smart people.
Well, that and I studied, you know, social sciences.
Knowing now what you know, would you have done it differently?
It's very hard to say. I don't feel like
you loved your time in Scotland.
That's the point. I loved my time in Scotland. I don't feel like grad school has so far that I've received all the maybe perceived economic benefits one would hope from it. But that stuff comes in time. But the memories and the time I spent there, that's hard to replace. You know, I mean, I can't imagine my life
without it. Is it worth, how much is we don't have to discuss this, but would it be worth, say, $100,000?
Oh, thankfully, I don't have that much debt. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I think if you're going to get $100,000 in debt, you better be a lawyer or a doctor.
Yeah, let's say you went to Harvard. You went and got an MBA. The time there, is it worth the memories? Because that's all you have right now.
No, time in Cambridge, Massachusetts is not worth the memories.
No.
I lived in Scotland. That's worth something.
Why is that better than Cambridge? Cambridge is wonderful.
That's not even a question that has an answer. That's not even worth answering. Why? It's Scotland. I lived in Edinburgh. Edinburgh, yeah. Scotland. One of the most beautiful.
It looks very similar. I've seen pictures.
It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. What happened? It looks like Charleston.
Yeah.
Charleston, South Carolina or West Virginia?
What am I thinking?
You're thinking of Cambridge.
No. What's the river? The Charles River.
Oh, the Charles River. Whatever.
Pardon me.
Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Everything's
donkey.
Fine. So everything's.
You pompous donkey.
I'm trying to push forward with the show. Everything was great for me this weekend, though I quickly discovered that a government shutdown means that, like, every random little park is shut down. It was a very special Columbus Day here in D.C. My wife and I decided to go and try to have a little picnic. There's a park that's right on the north of the runway at Reagan National Airport, right on the Potomac River. Very popular place to hang out because the planes take off right over your head. You're only 200 feet off the runway, maybe. We thought we'd check it out, chance it, but nope. I tried to get on it from the parkway, and what happened? Cones and people blocking it off. And then every park I sought out, its entrances were blocked with cones because of the...
So me and a girlfriend of mine have been planning this trip to the Redwood National Park in California for quite some time, months.
Good choice.
And so we're just piecing together the final tenets of our trip, and I decided to call Redwoods National Forest and see if they would let us in.
Even though they're shut down?
They are shut down.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're a national park. National parks are... Totally.
So that was kind of disappointing because we were supposed to leave on Thursday, and I don't know why that. You know what else was great? I'm starting another business, a small business on the side, and so I have to register an LLC.
Sure. Uh-huh, right? Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, sure.
So to start an LLC, you need to go get a federal EIN number or your employee identification number.
Right.
And so I go to get this, and the website.
Doesn't work.
To get this does not work. Nope. Because it's a federal entity. They don't, there's no human hands that have to touch this, but apparently this robot that we do not pay money to is shut down.
Well, one of the funny ones is a lot of National Park Service websites are all down, basically, because they say they don't have the money, which is funny because it's not like they, I mean, it's the websites could stay up there. It's not like they can't function, and it's not like there's no money because it's not like they're required to have the servers. It's funny.
Well, it's not like they spend money on their hosting fees. This is all on shared hosting because nobody ever goes to a park's website.
I do.
There's no functionality built into these.
There is. You can learn what their hours are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I kept track of our trip to Glacier, Al. We didn't know what was going to happen.
What would we have done?
I don't know.
Anywho.
So that was a very exciting
thing. Neither here nor there.
Yeah, maybe people want to hear about Mormon things, because I'm in the mood right now where you and I'll just wind up talking for 40 minutes about nothing.
It could happen. It's a show. It's a show about nothing. That's the brilliance of it.
No, it's a show to let us exercise our vanity. That's what's going on here.
It's where we talk about space camp. There were other camps available, Jeff.
Yeah?
You want to hear about the other space camps?
If you do go to Redwood National Park, you'll probably find some sort of marijuana-related camp in that neck of the woods. So.
Plant? Hold on. I'm just going to show
you.
No,
it's fine. Folks,
Camps. We've got Space Camp, Space Academy.
Oh, great.
Robotics Camp? Jeff, I would love Robotics Camp. There's an Educator Camp. Oh, man. We go to Family Space Camp.
What's the difference?
What if we did that? I bet we'd save money if we were life partners, along with your wife.
That's a good point, though. I don't think that flies in Alabama.
They wouldn't let us in?
Full faith and credit doesn't apply to the whole gay marriage thing yet for some reason. So I don't, sorry, Al. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. So sorry to those of you who are annoyed by long banter.
But we don't care.
I care. I want to please everyone. It's my biggest flaw as a human.
You who are annoyed by banter, turn this off.
I'm not annoyed by banter. I find it to be one of the more amusing parts of our production.
I like the. Remember when we started off and we were like, we would like write down what we were going to talk about?
Yeah, the show had more structure then.
But we would say banter, 10 minutes. Yeah, it actually had a name.
We try to limit it to that. Right now, banter is pushing much longer. It's time to move on. It's over. It's over.
Okay. Well, big news this week, Jeff. There is a Mormon loser.
Is his name McKay Coppins?
Yes, please. We should apply to be on Biggest Loser as though we were McKay Coppins. It's Hap Homestead.
That name means nothing to me, but his name is Homestead. Okay.
If you had to guess where he's from, where of all the Mormons to make it on to the Biggest Loser, where would a man named Hap Homestead be from?
Indiana, Pawnee, probably.
Pleasant Grove.
Well, okay.
Utah.
Yeah.
Everybody says he's a nice guy, a returned missionary, and very fat.
Three attributes anyone wants in a spouse.
Those are the three things that we know. We know he's a nice man, a returned missionary, and the man is huge. He needs some help.
Well, how huge is he?
I don't know. The Biggest Loser, though,
baseball
I feel like has gotten exceptionally large in late years.
Well, is it, or maybe just America's getting larger, which it is.
Are you suggesting there is an obesity epidemic?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And would you suggest that the reason for this are well-intentioned parents giving their children orange crushed soda?
Yeah, I think high fructose corn syrup is, there's some problems with that. We love it and everything. Everything.
Guilty.
It's true. What can you do? Now, sort of, of course, we talked about General Conference a lot last week, and that was great. But then afterwards, about a day later, they finally published the remarks, which happens after every conference.
And then you did your word cloud tag, yes?
I did. I did the tag clouds. If you haven't seen them, go to thisweekinmormons.com and see the wordles or tag clouds, which I saw all over the place as far as coverage this year. Folks, we've been doing them.
Are really bad about publicizing your work, Jeff. Somebody else came in and said, I'll do that.
Yeah, we've been doing them at This Week in Mormons for a long time, everybody. So come enjoy. We have them for every session. It's wonderful. But you might remember that Elder Christofferson gave a really good talk about women and their role and stuff. But he did have one remark, and he said, quote, "Some feminist thinkers view homemaking with outright contempt, arguing it demeans women and that the relentless demands of raising children are a form of exploitation," unquote.
So, I hate feminist thinkers, right, Detod?
That is what Detod said. Now, the published version only says, "Some view homemaking with outright contempt, la, la, la." So it used to say, "Some feminist thinkers view." Now it just says, "Some view." So some
feminist thinkers.
Yeah. Some has gone from an adjective to a noun in this case.
What should happen then?
Anyway, nothing really happens here. This happens a lot, of course. Conference remarks get edited. That's very normal. I think this one got coverage because clearly Elder Christofferson thought a little bit better of it after the fact of using the phrase feminist thinkers perhaps that, you know, that was an inappropriate term to throw out there.
Do you agree? Should it have been changed?
I don't know if there's a should here, but I understand the logic behind it, because it's not trying
what
to...
What was the other...
Because there are many feminist thinkers who still feel fine about things and are, you know, quote unquote, in line with the traditional family as espoused by the brethren and stuff like that. So I understand. I feel like it was kind of a dig at maybe more radical feminists. I think that was what he was trying to get across. But rather than, you know, point the finger directly at someone, just open it up and say that some view it this way. Feminist thinkers.
Wasn't it, what was Elder Packer's in last conference that he said they got edited or that he changed when he published?
You mean 6 months ago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It wasn't it. It was where he was talking about homosexual temptations and it got changed to tendencies, something like that. Yes.
I don't remember. I honestly cannot tell you.
Well, you're forgiven.
I'm of no use to you in this situation. But so that's, that happens. But there were
in other exciting news, Jeff, the Payson Temple,
yes,
got an angel.
Tell me more.
It's actually interesting. Instead of the angel Moroni, they put up the angel Gabriel. So it's a little bit wider hip set, broader chest, and longer flowing robes. So that's exciting.
And an arc.
No trumpet. He's playing an accordion.
I was hoping it was going to be a lute.
He's got a pan flute.
By the way, speaking of pan flute sounding things, did you notice in general conference during one of the performances, or it might have even been during the Mormon Tabernacle Choir performance before
why,
it started?
Why do we have our hands up when we talk about this?
The guy, by there was the a guy, way. A guy playing a recorder, that little instrument you learn in elementary school.
Actually, no, when they did, yeah, well, because they did Hot Cross Buns,
yeah,
the choir from Ogden.
Professionally playing the recorder.
The and choir I was just, from Ogden featuring the recordist did Three Blind Mice, See How They Run.
Al, do you
and
know
then
how to,
the farmer got all the horn and I said, no, no, no.
Al, do you know how to read music?
I know that when it goes up, I go up, and when it goes down, I go down.
It's a good general.
All boys must have a face.
You're teaching me the
I believe
right there,
is right? The acronym, yes.
Well, there's no must.
All good boys.
All good
eat pie.
All. I don't really know where you're taking this now.
All boys go to heaven. There's
all,
some.
All good fellas.
All
eat
good.
Daiquiris. Do it again. Sorry. I'll make an augmented chord.
Can you auto-tune that in the post-production? Thanks,
no,
Jeff.
No, I can't. So good job, Payson Temple. Looks like it's coming right along. Glad to see that going down. And other, we actually have good news. I like what we're leading out with the trip.
Protected by Gabriel. What if we started pushing for some other, like let's get all angels represented
yeah, like
on there.
Why
Raphael.
Why Moroni? Raphael. Donatello.
No, there's Joseph Smith was visited by an angel, Raphael.
I don't know this story. Tell me this story.
He was just listing a number of angels that had visited him, and one of the angels was Raphael, which I hold on, let me see.
Did he eat pizza and have size?
He may have. Let me see who we believe that Raphael was. I think it was like So he's an archangel along with Michael. Let me see.
Wait a minute. He's like a bigwig, but we've never heard of this guy?
Yeah.
Then who was he on the earth is the question.
Let's see.
Maybe he's Alma.
Gabriel, who's also Noah.
Gabriel's
Raphael.
Noah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure.
We don't know who Raphael is.
I guess not. I can do a little more study and see if there's any speculation on
this. Yeah, let us know. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, DNC 128.21.
I had no idea. I never knew there was a mention of Angel Raphael.
They think it might be Enoch or Moses.
I thought we established that Moses was somebody else.
I think that's just made up, though. That's not a...
I just think the name Raphael is interesting because, you know, I believe Raphael is, you know, Latin-based. I don't know the full cognates of it.
Oh, we have Raphael, Gabriel.
Yeah, but a lot of the other ones are more biblical. I don't know. Let's see. Because there was Raphael, the painter. Oh, but there is Raphael, the archangel, as described. I'm looking this up on Wikipedia, so I might be wrong. And I admit I don't know. I don't know anything about this. But Raphael is mentioned in the Book of Tobit, which is canonical by Catholics, Orthodox, and some Anglo-Catholics. And when did he live?
No, it's out there, Jeff.
AD 230 to 270, old school.
I'm just saying, if they started pushing some of these other angels up on top of temples, I think we could have a lot of fun with trading cards and things like that.
Raphael is also honored in Islam as one of the great archangels, where he's known as Israfil.
Have you really? You never heard of that? You never?
I'm not a very learned fellow. I don't know.
But you're a nice man.
Well, thank you. Makes up for it. Loved this. We loved all your thoughts on it, too. We posted it. So some guy... We don't even know where it's from because we got it from Imgur, that website. But actuarial.
It was tweeted out. We know where it's from.
Yeah. So it's an actuarial table discussing basically, I don't know how they're predicting the age at which the first presidency and the 12 are going to pass, and therefore their probability of attaining prophethood at some point, which I think is fascinating.
Age is calculated as let's see.
The sad thing is they think El Tom Perry's only going to live in... How is El Tom Perry... How is this old? Because it says 90. This must be old. This is actually a couple of years. No, this says 2013. Well, their ages are messed up because President Monson's not 85. He's like 88.
No. It's the year of birth minus... Or 2013 minus the year of birth. That's how they get their age.
Thank you. Thank you for telling me how age is calculated.
Yeah, that's what...
Well,
you're saying...
No, I've got to know. El Tom Perry's 91 now, is what I'm saying. So that's what I
know. Oh, I see.
But they're fine. So, what I love... It's funny here. Expected age at death. They actually think President Packard's going to make it to 94.
So here's what's great, though. We got a 65% chance on Bednar of making it in.
I agree with that one, though. I mean, it just makes sense.
He's such a nice guy. Holland's got a 43%. That's strong.
Yeah, and then Oaks is probably doing pretty
Packers
well.
Sitting at 39%. They think we're going to have an elder or a prophet Packer.
Which is interesting to me. How do you feel about that?
I think President Monson has a much better chance of living longer than President
Many
Packer.
Would say that. There have been some rumors, though, that President Monson's health has actually been failing.
Our boy LTP, the L-Train, only 22%. And Russell at 21%. Elder Oaks, 38%. He's got a strong showing.
No, I think Elder Oaks.
I would love an Elder Oaks as a prophet.
Yeah?
That'd be a strong
prophetship. We'd be pretty hardcore, though. I think we could be interpreted as hardliners.
That's all right. I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
Yeah, but I think some of these make sense just based on the ages and the way things are spread out. I mean, many don't see Elder Packer, obviously, living for crazy amounts of time. Elder Perry's in good health, but he's also already 91, so who knows. Elder Nelson's showing his age. Then you got Elder Oaks, which is fair. Elder Ballard, Elder Scott, no. Elder Hale's health hasn't been great. But yeah, Holland could happen.
You think we're due for, like, we've been together for a number of years. How long has this core group of individuals been together?
I believe this core has been together, I want to say, since Elder Worthlin passed away.
Which was, four years ago?
I don't know if it was 4 years ago. I think it was a little more recently than that. But I forget if... who Elder Anderson... Yeah, I don't remember. I'm trying to see right here. I'm looking on the thing. I'm sorry for not knowing this quickly. Yeah, death of Joseph B. Worthlin in December 2008. Yeah, I didn't realize Elder Anderson's already been there for almost 5 years.
Wow.
And he's the youngest.
And so it happens.
You'll be happy to know that Elder Cook stands almost no chance of getting the prophetship. So,
Quinton?
For those of you who are worried, the man comes right after Elder Bednar, so there's basically no chance.
Bednar's sweeping the table.
Yeah, exactly. He's running the board.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to analyze a little bit. Even though it doesn't. I mean, it has zero significance. If the Lord finds a way to get who he needs into place,
it's true.
El Tom Perry came and talked to us one time as missionaries, and he said he was just kind of speaking anecdotally, and he was like, well, you know, if the Lord doesn't want me to be the prophet and I'm next in line, guess what happens? He'll kill me off. I will somehow die.
Al, let me ask, let me ask you this, though. How do you feel about, I guess that's fine. I mean, I know that the succession now is very standardized, and it wasn't for a long time. Now, do you feel like that makes it corporatized and predictable, or would you appreciate an era where instead every time the prophet dies, it actually becomes a period of, you know, not
where they all went in, into a big room and we waited to see the smoke?
Exactly. And they actually like prayed and like the Lord called out of any of them, whoever would be the prophet.
No. Sounds silly.
Okay.
The Lord loves order, right? And like the early days, we did not understand the order. No. We hadn't been through the process yet. That's why. I mean, it's not that we didn't have it figured out, because we knew who the next prophet would be, mm-hmm. especially after the transition from Joseph Smith to Brigham Young.
No,
right?
Even then we didn't know. We actually
We learned there. It was established and written, but we still. I mean, they just didn't. They took their time on the next piece. It wasn't that it was a question of who was going to be called. It was that it was a question of time and like when and how.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not until President Woodruff died and Lorenzo Snow took over that they had a seamless transition with no gap in between without a first presidency. So.
Like a California woman's teeth.
Yes.
Just no
gap. I feel like someone else did something like this like years ago. Like back in 2010 maybe, we talked about someone who did a similar table.
I don't know. We've been doing this a long time.
I know. I don't remember anything.
So let me talk to you a little bit, Jeff.
Tell me.
Let me talk to you a little bit about modesty.
Okay.
So the thing with modesty...
I like it.
...is you like it because you're married, and you're trying to keep your married goggles on. Me as a single man, it's the bane of my existence, this modesty.
You dislike it. You encourage the women you date to dress are becoming pornography.
I'm just kidding. So there's been a bout, they call it modesty, or what do they call it? Modesty shaming.
That's what I called it.
There's this weird sort of thing that started happening. I noticed when I would do EFY and they'd have, you know, you get the kids chanting modest is hottest and things of that nature.
Yeah.
It's good. We like modesty, right? But I think that a lot of us misunderstand modesty. There's a period, and it may still be real in some of your worlds, where like if somebody showed up in a miniskirt, they were first judged for being in a miniskirt at church, and second, loved for being at church.
Yeah.
I think that is a huge, huge mistake, and something that we as a whole are very, very guilty of. It's so easy for us to get very accustomed to what our appearance and stuff should be. In our little world, and we forget that, I mean, it's not our job to police that, right?
Right.
For instance, a woman shows up to church in a miniskirt. You should trust that by just letting her be there and loving her and making her feel welcome, the Spirit will take the time to instruct her to wear more modest clothing because everyone around her is more modest. She will just feel inclined to dress better.
That's
and that'll
true.
Just happen. You don't need to say a darn thing.
Well, why don't you give us the context here? What's bringing this
so
up?
So here's
time.
What happened. This girl is at BYU studying away in the library, and she gets a note from what appears to be a first grader, though I'm sure he was older. His handwriting and spelling is atrocious.
Yes.
But he says, "Dear cute girl." So this note is delivered by a woman, and this girl is sitting there studying, and she gets a note that says, "Dear cute girl. Hottie McHot Hot Hot. I have seen you at the library before, and first off, I'm not trying to be creepy, just a nice friend."
Yeah, right. Yeah.
"You wear," and he spelled wear wrong, "you wear that blue shirt a lot, which, by the way, the color looks really good. However, I noticed that it's a little low cut. The guy sitting in front of you, a table away, keeps looking. Just thought I would warn you. I hope you take care and help the boys around here out in the future so they don't have the temptation. Sincerely, a friend looking out for you and the boys."
Let's hear it for the boys.
You scroll down. She ends the post with a picture of what she's wearing, and it's a completely modest, shows a hint of cleavage shirt.
Yeah, it's fine. The girl appears to have stuff upstairs, and I could see if she was leaning over a table, she might be showing some cleavage, but really, this is not that big of a deal.
Not at all. Well, so here's the dumb stuff about this, right? Like, anytime you have to call a girl out on modesty, first off, you never have to call a girl out on modesty, but if you ever do, there's never like a happy way of, I mean, a guy to a girl cannot say, you look slutty and I wish you didn't, and them still feel good. It just doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
A girl can pull a girl aside and say, hey, that might be a little low cut, blah, blah, blah. Like if you're a young woman's leader or something of that nature. But you're in college. You're grown people.
Yeah.
BYU has not just Mormons. They have others there as well. And they have people that are from different backgrounds. Maybe if I was raised in New York or Boston, whatever. I might not view that half an inch of cleavage as the end of the world, right?
But that you're just saying that is a cultural thing that makes it not the end of the world. That has nothing to do with the Lord's standards, Al. Just for the sake of argument. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're raised.
The Lord's standards doesn't say you're not allowed to have cleavage.
That's
the Lord's
true.
Standards does not say you're not allowed to show that you have hips. Right?
Like,
modesty is about respecting your body. Yes? Would you agree?
I completely agree.
What are you typing? Where are you going?
I'm looking up dress and grooming so that we can, you know.
So, the dress and grooming for the strength of youth. I mean, it's good. It's good for youth. It sets a precedent. But, like, I feel like we can all be adults and figure out what we are comfortable wearing.
Yeah. Well, this...
And if I may, the one other thing that bothers me about this stuff right now is the women becoming pornography for men.
Yeah.
Talk that was given. Was that Elder Holland?
No. Elder Holland would never give that talk. It was Elder Oaks.
So that helped a lot of people understand sort of the premise behind it, right? Like that when they sort of make an effort in this regard, it can help men and blah blah blah. That being said, men have taken that as an excuse to sort of shame women if they, like, sort of off-put the responsibility of keeping their thoughts clean, right? I mean, if you grew up in Hawaii, you're going to see a lot of women in bikinis, and it's not their fault that you have dirty thoughts. It's your fault. It's your responsibility to keep that clean, regardless of how people dress around you.
It's true, because you might even face... What if it were worse? Like, I mean, Al, you probably saw this on My Mission, Spain, not a lot of censorship in the press. Out straight up hardcore porn would be in news magazines just on the street, you know?
Yep.
And was it my choice to avert my eyes, or was I just so incapable of controlling myself that I just stared at it, right? I mean, yeah, I looked away. I avoided what was going on there. And that was much worse than in a modest woman. That said, though, I like to defend the general... idea of, hey, yeah, we do appreciate the leg up. It's not like we as men are not responsible for ourselves like you say, Al, which we are. Of course we are. We need to be men. We need to, you know, handle it on our own.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, we do appreciate it when the women, more because they respect themselves. But yeah, life is a little
bit
easier.
And if I may, that should be the only time a note is ever written. When we say, hey, thank you for dressing so modestly. You're amazing. Never, ever, ever. Should we be the ones in a note saying, hey,
right,
you're making me an evil person,
exactly,
shape up.
Yeah, so we're not in that place.
What a schmuck.
And sadly, this happens at BYU. And I think the great lesson to take away from this is if you are going to BYU or whenever you have kids, if they go to BYU, you know, let's try to get a better mindset culturally so that we take responsibility for ourselves. We applaud modesty for the right reasons. And we encourage modesty for the right reasons. Not just because you're a distraction to men, ladies, but because you respect your body as the sacred vessel that it is. That you respect what Heavenly Father has given you, and you don't want to flaunt it because it's sacred and precious. That is the reason to be modest. In my humble opinion. We've got some sad news this week. We've had two missionary deaths last week. Two. Like day after day, we had missionary death one day, missionary death the very next day.
Where were they?
Well, I'm going to go through them. One was in Mexico. I believe. Let's see if we get his name. Colt Daniel Coons was from Victor, Idaho. He died Wednesday while serving in the Mexico Tampico mission. He'd only been there for about a month. And I believe what happened is, of course, they're not going into tons of details, but he came into contact with a live electrical wire.
What?
Yeah. Another accident in this case. And we had another electrocution recently, but those were under different circumstances. If you remember, a missionary, I think this was also in Mexico, or it might have been in Guatemala. I think it was Guatemala. Was trying to fix their roof, and he slipped and tried to grab something. He grabbed a live wire just as an impulse. And so Utter Coons, to you, may you be well, and to your family, of course, our hearts go out to you. And it's terrible to be a part of this growing statistic of dead missionaries. And now the other one who passed away, they've updated this article, Elder Andrew Edward Page, 18, was from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was serving in the Arcadia, California mission, which is sort of up in the Pasadena area, if you know Southern California. He was hit by a car while riding his bike in the city of Azusa. And he'd also barely been out there. He'd been in the field for 3 weeks when he got hit.
He just stopped, he stopped for a minute to adjust his pant leg and then just kind of whipped his bike around and didn't look, and a car was coming.
Yeah. I'm very concerned about missionary safety of late. Is it are mission presidents overwhelmed with the growing numbers, so we're just not being careful enough?
Do you feel like your mission president was a key factor in your safety?
No, I feel like common sense was. I don't know, and I don't want to just pin this on people because of age, but do you think the fact that missionaries are younger, if they're, you know, if they're these 18-year-olds and they're barely in the field, seems to be a common trend? Is there like a recklessness?
The only thing that I might suggest here is that the trainers are younger, right? And so, like,
maybe so.
Like when I went out there, I had this like 21-year-old already. He was a seasoned veteran and just very, very responsible. And like I'd be like, "Hey, Elder, let's do it." He'd be like, "Elder, quiet dignity, Elder." And off we'd go, and we'd very
well, actually,
sober.
I'd like to amend this because I just found some more details on the one in Mexico, Elder Coons. This is terrible. He went to another missionary's apartment so he could attend a Thursday training meeting, according to his family. He and the other missionaries decided to study scriptures outside because it was cooler. They lived on the second story of a building and needed to walk on a ledge to get back inside. Well, there we go. But there was a live wire hanging. It brushed against him, and the shock pushed him off the building, so he fell two stories. And that's what actually was the cause of death.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But I admit I'm troubled by this. It's terribly sad. I mean, maybe it's that,
like, you have 18-year-olds training 18-year-olds, and, like, that common sense or that maturity isn't there yet.
I don't know. I mean, or Satan's working harder, or, you know, the saints are being tested. But obviously some people have chimed in and said, hey, there are more missionaries in the field. But the mortality rate far exceeds the growth rate as far as number of missionaries serving overall. So definitely please make your thoughts and prayers with the families of these missionaries. And we'll continue to keep watch, and I'm certainly hoping we don't add more numbers through the rest of 2013 to these ranks.
All right. Well, so let's see. There's another article over on Gawker.
We have a Gawker article that's for us? Oh, good.
Yeah, I kind of love this. Okay. I kind of love this. This guy writes in and says, I'm a literary agent specializing in young adult fiction, and I often hire recent college grads to give readers reports on new manuscripts. Lately, I've run in... Yes, Jeff.
I'd just like to ask, do we respect him at all because he specializes in young adult fiction?
No.
Okay. Continue.
Lately, I've run into some trouble with the Mormons. There are a lot of Mormon women involved with young adult fiction because literature is a big mission front for the church, he says. Women often major in English and stuff, I guess. In the last few years, I've been getting scathing readers' reports that miss huge chunks of the story being reviewed. Several readers have told me that they abstain from reading any passages that are too sexy. I want to start asking applicants if they are Mormons so that I can not hire them, but that feels like bigotry. But seriously, they can't perform the job, so maybe I should ask my ads if they are averse to sexuality. The thing is, I'm not an erotica person and don't want to sound like one. Just good books.
And I don't like Mormonism. Is that okay?
I just like good books and don't like Mormonism. Is that okay? Yeah. He says, that's not okay. And so then he just goes through this whole article and is like, you can't just discriminate because based on a broad general stroke. You know, you could go, they give him some ideas. He says, if you want to engage in religious discrimination without looking like a bigot, why not start a grassroots campaign and spread the word that Mormons are descendants from an inferior race of hominids? Or if you'd rather get your message across with a big visual, you might steal an authentic reproduction of No Irish Need Apply sign from a memorabilia place and slap a big picture of Donnie and Marie over the front. Unfortunately, there's laws forbidding this. So we kind of get defended. I appreciate this, Gawker. It's kind of nice to see a, prominent-esque, goofy site that actually stands up for us.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is nice. I suppose.
I was entertained. Also, if you're Mormon, don't be afraid of writing reviews on sexy things.
Yeah.
Are we not allowed to do that? Can we not review sexy topics, Jeff?
No, we can review sexy topics. This is an adult program. This isn't designed for children. What is this? Wanted to talk about this one for a little bit in our closing moments. This over at Rational Faiths, this is called the Purple Heart RM Project. Interesting discussion, actually, talking about missionary health, and I'd love to get your insights as well, Alex. It's something, admittedly, I had not thought much about. But did you know that 1.5% of missionaries come home for health-related issues per year?
Yeah, their backs hurt. Jeff, that means they had sex.
Is that what this whole thing is code for?
That's okay. Exactly what.
But
it's
this code. He tells the story.
I had back trouble on my mission, so I had to come home.
He tells the story about how walking was difficult. He tried to ignore it. Yada yada yada. Of course, he had contact with the mission doctor, but they wouldn't let him receive local treatment for some reason. And then I think it actually got to the point where, a mission president basically as much as said that, if he had enough faith, like if he was focused enough on the Lord's glory, then he would not be sick or have problems.
Oh, that's dumb.
Which is dumb. And it did make me think about this. Like, the mission, when you have the mission doctors or whatever, I don't know how it was on yours, but I think mine covered the whole Europe West area. It wasn't.
No,
just,
mine was just for Ukraine.
Or maybe ours
was Dr. Broberg.
So yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe ours was just for the Iberian Peninsula. I'm not sure. But that is kind of like spreading it thin for one doctor for all those missionaries. And
well, here's the way, especially in Western Europe, the doctor, well, in stateside missions, all the doctor does is say whether or not it's serious enough, or like he just gives you advice. He says, hey, go to the hospital. Hey, this might be surgery related. We need to bring you in and take you here. Our doctor is over here for this. You have a sore throat, take some of this. Obviously, they always just tell you drink more water for most things. I have a hurt leg. I think I broke my knee. You should drink more water. In my mission, I had a few medical-related things, right? Like one from walking. It iced over all the sidewalks, and so it was an uneven walking surface. And it jacked up my knee while I was walking. Okay. I had like tendonitis in my knee, and I went to the hospital. Or I went to the doctor, not a hospital, just like a clinic.
And did you just go, or did you call the mission office first?
No, I called the mission office, and that's where they told me to go. This isn't like across the board. In fact,
of course,
a mission president that just says don't use medical care that's available to you, instead use your faith, I think would be misdirected.
Well, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Right? Like, this isn't a real thing, I don't think.
For example, I've got a friend who came home because her mission president would not allow her to just get very simple treatment that she needed. And eventually she came home, and what it turned out is, I don't remember what the exact problem was, but you're talking like a simple visit to an actual physician in the country she was in could have solved her problems, and she could have carried on with her mission. Instead, she came home, was honorably released, and that was it for her mission.
I just can't.
And it's
unless
stupid,
the mission president's trying to get rid of her, that's not a real thing. That's not something that should ever happen.
I know. No, it shouldn't happen either. But it was an interesting article. I really enjoyed reading it. And it was just something.
What else was interesting about it? Just that there's a bunch of missionaries that are hurt and can't get help?
I guess it's that. I hadn't thought much about it in the past. I was fortunate to have good health on my mission other than the usual just aches and pains of being a missionary. And I had never thought that there was a substantial portion of those serving or who have served who felt like it was an uphill battle to get medical treatment if they didn't feel well enough on their mission, and where the default response was just to send them home. I understand it if you're in some developing country or something like that. They don't want to trust you with inadequate, medicine and stuff like that. But, if you're serving elsewhere, why would they send you home? Just take care of stuff. It's interesting. I had a friend.
The other.
Go ahead. Go.
No, what were you saying? You had a friend.
Nothing. I just had a friend of mine growing up in California who actually had cancer before his mission, and they had him serve his mission in California so that his health insurance would still be valid or something like that. He's fortunate to be from California, where he had a big state that he could, you know, serve somewhere else in. You know, it's just the same as being from Georgia and serving in Maryland, basically. So it was fun.
I expect that this will get better and better as time goes on. I also would expect to see mission psychologists probably will show up soon.
That's something I'm surprised there's not more of already at this point, actually. But I agree. I think it will be coming. It's forthcoming, I'm sure.
Certainly is. And then other big news, Jeff. Apparently, a meeting house in South Jordan has received a courtyard.
Folks, it's big enough for the Deseret News.
They have a courtyard in the middle.
It's a new building with a courtyard. I think we should refer to it as a cloisters.
Thank you, Deseret News. Thank you for this hard-hitting reporting that lets us also be hard-hitting reporters.
I've seen church buildings with courtyards. I guess they just don't really do them now. Some that were built, you know, in the 60s and 70s that had them. It was normal. Yeah. Al, before we go, what do you think about reciting the Lord's Prayer?
I'm against it, Jeff.
Why?
I'm not against it. I think it's a great example. I don't think that there's any use in rote memorization of it, because it just doesn't make sense to. I mean, the Lord sets an example, and then we follow that example. But we know the value, and we know how to pray. And the way that we do pray is not by reading a prayer, it's by a heartfelt outpouring of our desires and needs.
There we go.
That's
Jana
what it is.
Jana Reese at Flunking Sainthood disagrees with you and actually does the Lord's Prayer every day and is trying to encourage us to do it. I agree with you, Al, because she actually says there are great things that we can learn from memorizing it. But because we don't, we miss out.
There are great things we can learn from memorizing a myriad of scriptures.
That's true.
A myriad of passages. We should memorize more. We really should. And we should also recite it in your head. Why not? There's a lot of good stuff there. But learning from the scriptures should be on one hand. And then on the other hand, you pray about the scriptures. You pray to get more knowledge, to get more understanding. Let these work together in a way that it actually works instead of just reciting.
Yeah, and then the point is, of course,
come back to the fold.
I know. And then the point, of course, is the prayers should not be rote. I mean, that's my opinion. So, but that's it. We're a little short on time today, so we got to finish up.
Hey, much love, everybody. You can always find us. Email us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We've had a lot of great emails as we've been through the atonement this week. We've been working on the atonement.
We're going to keep going.
Gospel study sesh.
Yeah.
It's great.
But so sign up for that emailing list. Shoot us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Mm-hmm. Visit us. Facebook.com/thisweekinmormons and @TheRealTwim on the old Twitter Rooski. And of course, look for Sunday School Bonanza, where we go over gospel doctrine courses. Good times.
Yeah, it's our favorite. Anyway, we'll see you there, everybody. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Al. Hope you have a good week, too. And we thank you, folks, for listening in to This Week in Mormons. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye. 我宁可现在做个松饼，我告诉你，你就加些松饼粉，可能加个蛋。哎，我今天锁我的门了吗？哦，我们再加个鲜牛奶，500cc就够了。哎，我的杯子呢？算了，倒进去，随意就行了。